Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Allcargo Terminals Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Suyash Samant from Stellar IR Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We have with us today the senior management team of Allcargo Terminals Limited: Mr. Suresh Kumar, Managing Director; Mr. Preetham Bhatta, Chief Financial Officer; and Mr. Sanjay Punjabi, Investor Relations, who will represent Allcargo Terminals Limited on the call. The management will be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the quarter and half-year ended September 30, 2025, followed by a question-and-answer session. Please note, this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. These statements are not a guarantee of the company's future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statements to reflect developments that occur after a specific date. I now hand over the conference to Mr. Suresh Kumar, sir. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to the Allcargo Terminals Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. We have uploaded the results, the media note, and the presentation on the stock exchanges and the company's website. I hope you have had an opportunity to go through the same. I will share an overview of the economy, industry, and ATL's business over the next few minutes, after which I will hand over the call to Preetham to discuss the financial performance for the second quarter and H1 of 2026 financial year. To begin with, the IMF expects global growth to moderate gradually to be in the range of 3.3%-3.1% between 2024 and 2026. This reflects the impact of persistent trade tensions, which we all read about, and geopolitical uncertainty. Growth in advanced economies is likely to remain modest at around 1.5%, while emerging markets and developing economies are expected to expand slightly above 4%. Inflationary pressures are projected to ease further. On the trade front, progress on the potential India-U.S. trade agreement could strengthen ties in energy manufacturing and technology, boosting trade flows and exempt cargo movement, and therefore will create new opportunities for logistics and terminal operators like us. About the industry, the Indian ports and shipping sector is undergoing a transformative phase driven by rising investments, expanding cargo volumes, strong policy support, and a whole lot of initiatives. Key government initiatives like Sagarmala, which covers over 575 projects worth over 6 lakh crore rupees, and the Shipbuilding Financial Assistance Policy extended to March 26, are fostering capacity expansion and technological advancement, including green fuel propulsion systems. The sector is expected to add 500-550 million tons per annum of capacity between FY 2023 and 2028, led by growth in coal and containerized cargo and petroleum. Meanwhile, the development of 23 operational waterways by 2030 will enhance cost-efficient, sustainable freight movement. With these initiatives, India is poised to emerge as a modern, technology-driven maritime hub with improved efficiency and global competitiveness. Closer home, coming to the ATL performance in Q2, I would like to say that it's been a strong quarter for us with growth in all key aspects of business. We have sequential quarter growth, which is pronounced in volume, in revenue, and PBT. There's also been a quarter in which we received permissions, which is the LOI for two upcoming projects, and we have also commenced our capacity expansion program, JNPA. So on that note, let me hand you over to Preetham for his portion and then the financial results.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Suresh. Welcome to our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. I will now present the key highlights of the financial results for the second quarter and first half of FY26. Total volume handled in Q2 FY26 was 168,000 TEUs, representing a growth of 12% over last quarter and 7% over last year same quarter. For H1 FY26, total volume stood at 319,000 TEUs compared to 318,000 TEUs in H1 FY25. Revenue for Q2 FY26 was 207 crores, a growth of 11% over last quarter and 6% over same period last year. For H1 FY26, volume stood at 394 crore compared to 385 crore in H1 FY25. EBITDA excluding other income for Q2 FY26 was 40 crore, representing a growth of 17% over last quarter and 24% over same period last year. H1 FY26 EBITDA stood at 75 crore compared to 62 crores in H1 FY25. EBITDA per TU for the quarter stood at 2390, representing a growth of 4% over last quarter and 17% over same period last year. Net profit for Q2 FY26 was 11 crore compared to 11 crore in Q2 FY25 and 9 crore in Q1 FY26. For H1 FY26, net profit stood at 20 crore compared to 21 crore in H1 FY25. The company did raise approximately 38.28 crores through the issuance of 1.32 crore fully convertible warrants on a preferential basis to its promoters and promoter group in July 25. Each warrant was priced at rupees 25 and the company initially received 25% of the issue price, around rupees 9.57 crore as a subscription amount, with the remaining 75% to be received upon conversion into equity shares. In addition to this, the company is also planning to come up with the right issue for an amount up to rupees 80 crore. I would also like to highlight here that we have prepaid a loan worth rupees 40 crores in September quarter and additional 30 crores in the month of October. With this, I would like to open the floor for the question and answer.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star, then one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. A reminder, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Garvita Jain from Seven Islands PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. I hope I'm audible, sir. Am I?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yes. So my question is about right issue, which you have mentioned for 80 crores you are doing. So I just wanted to understand what is the objective of this right issue. Is it for expansion only or for working capital requirements or what?
I'll request Preetam to respond to this.
Yeah, so this...
I'm sorry?
Yes, Suresh, I will respond to this. So large part of right issue, the objective is to finance expansion, the expansions which we are planning for Farukhnagar and Mundra. Some portion of that would also be used for repayment of existing debt, which is mainly taken for HORCL appropriation, and 25% would be general corporate purpose. So yes, majority of this right issue proceeds would be used for expansion.
Okay. I think why only 80 crores? Because we can even reach more further growth opportunities and future expansions. Then why only are we planning a small amount of 80 crore for our company?
So, as mentioned earlier, Garvita, in July, we raised 40 crore by way of preferential allotment. And the planning for rights issue is around 80 crore. So, totality, it makes to 120 crore. Our estimated requirement is in the range of 400 crore for completing entire expansion plan. However, we are not spending everything at one go. It is supposed to be done in a phased manner over next over FY till FY 2030. Our existing business is continuing to give very strong cash flow, as we have reported in this quarter also. Plus, our some expansions like JNPT expansion is already live, and that is expected to yield more earnings and would contribute to my existing cash flow. So a lot of these expansions we are planning to fund through our internal generated cash flow and the existing cash reserves. That's why we estimate the equity plus there is a small amount of borrowings, which we also have planned for to bridge the gap. So just to answer your question, a lot of this financing requirement would be funded through our internal cash accruals and cash flow from existing business, plus certain portion from debt, and the balance we are looking to infuse the equity.
Okay, so total 120, we are raising some debt and then rest is cash flows.
Yeah.
And by when are we planning this rights issue, sir?
Rights issue, we already have received BSE approval, so it would be in next few weeks, I would say.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rajiv Makhija, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Hi. Thank you, sir, and good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, my first question is, our EBITDA per TEU currently stands at over 2,000 rupees. So is this a sustainable number going forward, or should we expect some moderation as we scale up further and focus on expanding our shares?
Okay, is that the only question? Is there additional one, or can I respond, please?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, so you said a couple of questions. So is this the only point, or is there any other follow-up question, or can I respond?
The follow-up would be, sir, how do we see your current yields compare between exim and domestic cargo, and where do you see better margin stability? So that would be an additional one in follow-up to that.
Okay. So thank you, Rajiv, listening for your question. With regard to EBITDA per TEU, the number that you saw this quarter at over 2,300, this is a upward trajectory that we have been noticing in our business, consciously created through scale efficiencies, good revenue and yield management, and our cost initiatives. So about 12 quarters back, I think our EBITDA used to hover around 1,800 rupees, and we had set a goal for ourselves to be about 2,000 rupees, which I think is the right level to operate the business in a profitable manner. So we have now reached that level, and we expect to be in the thereabouts of 2,200 to 2,300 rupees as we go ahead. So that's what our estimate is, and this balances both yield requirements for running a healthy business and also market share. And if you were to look at, you mentioned about market share, I think most of the markets in which we operate, we would be either the leading CFS provider, or we would be within the top two or three CFS operators in all the markets that we are operating. So we expect EBITDA per TEU to continue to remain in the range of around 2,200 going forward. On your other question with regard to EXIM versus domestic, if you were to look at it, we specialize in EXIM cargo, and our EXIM cargo largely between import and export is what we do, 75%-80% of imports and about 20% on exports. So I don't have a comment to offer on the domestic cargo.
All right, sir. All right. Thanks for this. So on the similar line, since we are on the export side, so could you please share your perspective on the current import-export scenario and your view on the potential trade developments with the U.S.?
Okay. So this is something that we keep a close track on. Allow me a few minutes to take you through a few numbers with regard to what we believe is how the market is. So the current quarter, the quarter that we ended, which is Q2 FY26, port volumes had grown about 4% on a sequential basis and on a YOY basis by about 6%, which is pretty much the run rate for container volume, port volume growth, 4%-6% kind of a number. So I shared with you the sequential and the YOY numbers. This port volume translates into addressable market because some of the cargo wouldn't come into the CFS, and as a CFS ICD operator, we are sharply focused on what happens to the addressable market. The addressable market in the last quarter has grown 10% YOY and 3% sequentially. And the ATL, our volumes, have grown 7% and 13% YOY and sequentially. So there has been good growth rates in import led by what has happened in the market, plus some of the expansion that we have done, and we expect these trends to continue. With regard to the tariff and various other pressures, one has to take a look at, one, the economy with whom these tariff discussions which are happening. That contributes to possibly a fifth of India's EXIM volumes. And in that, the composition of that would include things like pharma, would include precious gems, minerals, metals, and all that stuff. And then there is agri and other products. All of this, a significant portion, do not really kind of become addressable market for CFS ICDs. And therefore, we have not seen any pronounced impact of this on our business in the last couple of quarters. And we expect the same trend to continue.
Okay.
Does that answer the question, Rajiv?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So just on that, can you also throw some light that the pickup that you have mentioned about that we have seen year-on-year growth and quarter-on-quarter growth? So is there any specific commodity or corridors? And with the latest government trade policies that we have seen or the FTAs, so have you seen some near-term benefit because of that? If you can share some light on that.
Yeah, very, very good question. If you were to look at the growth that we have had, and again, I would like to share a few numbers here. Q1 of this year, we were averaging about 55,000 TEUs on a monthly basis, and this includes the Dadri volumes. Dadri, as you know, is a joint venture that we have with CONCOR for the ICD in Dadri. We can add the volumes to our volumes. The revenue doesn't come in into the top line. We get the profits from the JV booked in ATL. So I'm taking that volumes also in for the sake of simplicity. We were at about 55,500 baseline volumes, including Dadri in Q1. That volume has strengthened to about an average of about 62,500 in Q2. There are two reasons for this. One, as I mentioned to you, there is a good uptake in import volumes in the addressable market. And the second is our own capacity expansion that we have done, which we have spoken about in the previous previous earnings call. So we have added capacity in JNPA, and then we have also added a little additional capacity in Mundra, two of the key markets. So these additional capacity unlock has helped us carry more volumes in the facilities, and that explains the 10%-12% increase in average monthly volumes that we are seeing in Q2. There is also, obviously, the tailwinds of what's happening in the economy, which comes to us. And specifically about mix of cargo, we do not see a significant shift in mix based upon the FTA and other agreements that you're talking about. There are seasonal shifts between, say, chemical and manufacturing and some of the
other material which comes in. There is no pronounced shift commodity-wise that we have been able to pick up in the addressable market and the cargo that flows through our facilities. Hello, Rajiv. Does that clarify?
Yes, sir. It does clarify. Thanks, sir, and all the best for your future.
Thank you. Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chinmay Parab, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. I am audible.
Yes, you're audible, Chinmay. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. I'll straightly go into my questions. So, first question, as I can see, we have upcoming projects in Chennai, Farukhnagar, and Mundra. So, what kind of volume growth are we expecting out of this?
Okay. So, here again, allow me a little time to take you through what our plans are. Some of this, which we have detailed in our analytical presentations that we did in September. So when we began this year, we started with a installed capacity or available capacity of 830,000 TEUs. In our three-year plan, we plan to increase this 830,000 TEUs handling capacity of laden containers to over 13 lakhs. And this is over a 2 to 3 year period. And there are four key projects that we have identified through which we expect to have this capacity expansion achieved. What are these four key projects? The first one is the yard expansion in JNPT. In one of the CFSs, in JNPT we have two CFSs. In one of the CFSs, we have expanded the yard by almost close to 80% yard capacity, and we've added warehousing capacity also proportionate to that. The second project that we have is in Mundra, where we have acquired land of about 60 acres, in which we propose, and this is outside the Adani Special Economic Zone, in which we propose to construct a CFS in the coming year, which is 2026, for which we have received the IMC LOI approval a couple of months back. The third project is to come up with a CFS facility close to the emerging cluster of ports, which is the Ennore Kattupalli port in Chennai. In Chennai, as you know, there are two clusters of ports, the Swire port and the new cluster of ports in Ennore Kattupalli. Our present facility is closer to the erstwhile Chennai port. We are in the final stages of firming up expansion of capacity closer to the new cluster of ports. And the fourth project that we have on the drawing board pipeline is an ICD, a greenfield ICD in Farukhnagar, for which we are in the final stages of leasing land. We have already got the approvals for the rail line connectivity, and we have also got the permissions from the IMC for setting up an ICD there. So these four projects put together will enhance our volumes from 8.3 lakh TEUs to around 13 lakhs. Out of this, we have already commissioned 170,000 in August in JNPT and an expansion of about 50,000 in Mundra. Therefore, currently we run with a capacity of 10.5 lakh TEUs, starting from 8.3 lakhs, what we had at the beginning of the year. So that's the expansion that we've done. And in the earlier question, I think when Garvita was asking the question about financing and when Preetam was responding to it, he had mentioned that we are in the process of expanding, and we have internal accruals which will help us in terms of funding these projects. And over a 2 to 3 year time frame, we would cross the 13 lakh mark when it comes to capacity. So that's the plans and the current status of that. Does that answer your questions well, Chinmay?
Yes, sir. Yes, that's a very detailed answer. Thank you for that. On similar lines, as we are talking about volume, sir, would you like to share some guidance on expected volume trajectory for our FY26 and FY27?
Normally, we stay away from sharing volume trajectories of that nature, but I can tell you what we have already done. And that's what, in the earlier question to Raji, I was trying to explain, saying that we were averaging close to 55,000 TUs monthly in the last quarter. That includes the Dadri volumes. In Q2, we are at about 62,000. And in September, if you were to take exit month September run rate, we hit volumes close to 66,000 TUs. So this 66,000 TUs represents about a 16-17% growth in volumes to the Q1 starting that we had. We have expanded capacity by about 25-26% already, and we expect in H2 volumes to also catch up with that capacity, because we would like capacity utilization to remain in the range of around 80-85%. If you have been following us, you would notice that in the past quarters, I and Preetham and others have shared with you saying that in some of our facilities, we have crossed the 90% capacity, and therefore we need to build capacity, which we have started doing. And therefore, currently we operate at about 76-77% capacity utilization with the increase in capacity. We expect to get to about anywhere between 80-85% capacity utilization in H2. That's kind of how I would like to respond to your question. I hope that gives you clarity.
So that's great. That's great to hear from your side. Thank you. Sir, another question would be on the industry lines, we are seeing some gradual model shift from road to rail. So along with the growing acceptance of rail logistics and domestic cargo movement, how do you see this trend impacting our business?
Yeah, I think, again, a very good question. If you were to look at our medium-term plans, which is what I told you, out of the four projects, one of the big projects that we have is the greenfield ICD that we will set up in Farukhnagar. The ICD, when we set up in Farukhnagar, will be rail connected, and we will have rail operations, which will give us an opportunity to partake in not only the EXIM business, which happens from the northern portion of the country, but also start leveraging the DFCC, which passes through our facility, to take an active role in the domestic market also. It is a little too early for me to talk about a project which will start kicking in from 2027 Q1 calendar. So maybe in the coming quarters, when our plans become a little more firmer, I would be in a position to share those with you.
So one last question from my side. Could you share our current market share across the key geography areas where we operate?
Yeah. So again, I would like to respond to this with a caveat. There are no published market share information that you get of what happens in the container space. So the numbers that I share with you are absolute estimates that we have created based upon our understanding of the market and our research in the markets in which we operate. So we have a market share in the range of 12.5-13% in the CFS space across the markets in which we operate in. And the markets in which we operate contribute to about 80% of India's EXIM trade. There are certain ports in the country where we are not present, and therefore we do not keep track of the market shares there. Therefore, with the caveat that this is an internal estimate based upon our understanding of the market, I would like to share that we have a market share in the range of 12.5-13% in the markets that we operate. So if you know, we operate in five locations with seven facilities. The market share that I shared pertains to this.
Sure. That's it from my side. And thank you for this opportunity and all the best moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kiran Ghadge from Kingston Knight Capital Management LLP. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So what are the cost initiatives you talked about because of which the margin EBITDA per TU improved?
Thank you, Kiran. Over the last 2 to 3 years, if you were to look at it, because of the scale efficiencies that we have, this is in terms of transport costs, which is a large portion of the cost OPEX, and the second is the equipment cost. So on both these fronts, we have been able to kind of optimize, ensure technology also comes into play. Better yard management is something that we have done in some of the facilities with regard to moving into smarter yard management solutions. So it's a combination of scale efficiencies and therefore better transport and equipment rates. Second is with regard to technology that we have used to ensure that movement is optimized in the different locations. These are the key initiatives that we have taken. The other things that we do in line with our commitment to ESG is a gradual shift from conventional power to solar. That is also gives us some relief in terms of electricity costs, even though that's not a category A item. It will be a category B or C item. But in a facility like, say, Chennai, we have moved about 70-odd percentage of our electricity consumption currently happens from alternate sources. So all this, as I say, every little initiative, every small cost saved is good for our margin. So it's a set of things, out of which the larger ones are the ones that I mentioned. We have also, in terms of kind of being more efficient with regard to movements and information and transparency, we also have a digital app that we have enabled for our partners, our vendors, our CHAs who support us. That might not be a direct cost line, but it kind of makes the whole process far more efficient because right now, with the MyCFS app, which is available both on Android and the iOS, our vendors and customers can kind of do the bulk of the processing that they need to do at the CFS from the comfort of their office, making the whole process that much more efficient. So that's in summary the set of initiatives that we have taken over the last couple of years to ensure that costs are optimized.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charchit Mallu from Genity Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. I'm new to the company. So can you just share the timelines of the new project?
Yeah, I can share with you the timelines. Again, I'll go through the four projects that I mentioned to you about. JNPA, additionally, yard expansion. We initiated that in August. The complete process will get over by November, December this year. So that's project number one. Project number two is Mundra, where we have acquired the land and we expect, and we have got the LOI for CFS operations there. We expect this project to go on stream towards the end of 2026. The third project is the additional capacity that we want to create near the Kattupalli and Ennore ports in Chennai. We expect this also to follow the same timeline as Mundra or early 2027. And the last project is Farukhnagar, which is a slightly more longer gestation project because it involves rail connectivity. The targeted date for that is April 27. That's the targeted date for the Farukhnagar project. I hope I got the dates right, Preetam. If I've said anything wrong, please correct me.
Got it, sir. And sir, like how, like till when these new projects will reach our target utilization of 85%?
So currently, I told you, we are hovering around 76-77%. By the end of the year, we should get to 80-85%. That's the short-term goal that we have. The new projects within the... So Mundra is basically a market where we already have two facilities. We just need to see how we are going to use the new facility with expanded capacity. The other one is Chennai, again a market where we are running at 100% capacity now of our facility. And Farukhnagar is a greenfield project. So other than Farukhnagar, we expect capacity utilization to get to desired levels of 80% within 6 to 9 months, or at best a year from commissioning of the three projects. Farukhnagar, given the fact that it's a absolutely new project, it's a greenfield one, it will happen in phases. By 29, I think we expect 29, which is the calendar year 2029, we expect to get to capacity utilization of 75 to 80% there.
Great, great. Got it. And sir, just last question. like, are there any listed players like as a competitor?
I think we would have a few listed players. There is Navkar, which is a listed player in both the CFS and ICD space. And you've got EL, which is another listed player. But the difference between them and us would be, for us, out of 7 facilities, we have 6 facilities, CFS. The ICD facility that we have is in Dadri. And some of the players that I mentioned to you would have more number of ICDs and lesser number of CFSs.
Got it. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you're audible, Utsav. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I am fairly new to the company, so we've spoken a lot about the expansion. I just wanted to understand, how would the capacity move in terms of numbers? I mean, we have something from 8, we have done from 8 lakhs, we have come to 10 lakhs, and then how would it move forward? That would be my question first.
Yeah. Thank you, Utsav. You're right. Our capacity has increased from 8.3 to 10.5 this calendar year. Mundra and Chennai, and then Farooknagar, these are the 3 facilities and the timelines I mentioned to you in response to the earlier question, will take us close to about 13 lakhs. And if we continue to maintain the capacity utilization rates, as I mentioned to you, which is the goal, and which is the right way to take this forward, and there is significant growth which is happening in the Indian economy, one of the brightest spots in the world. Exim trade powers it. There's been constant 4-6% kind of a growth in Exim and port volume. Some quarters is even better. And then there is the addressable market, which is the cargo which comes in the CFSS ICD. So we are expanding capacity at absolutely the right time when things are looking very rosy from a point of view of port volumes, addressable market. We ourselves having hit capacity utilization in the previous quarters of 90-95%. And therefore, we need to kind of build capacity and release some of this packed facilities that we have. So all this is coming together at the right time. And as I mentioned to you, on the timelines that we are mentioning, which I mentioned earlier with regard to 26 and then 27 for Farooknagar, and the gestation period it takes in an established location anywhere between 9 to 12 months, we will get to capacity utilization of 75-80%. And in a new facility, maybe we'll take a little more time. And this I'm saying with the confidence of the customer relations that we have across the country, the shipping line relations that we have across the country, and the trends that I shared with you for JNPA, within a quarter of expanding capacity, I think we have been able to add volumes of 10-12%. So we believe the same kind of trends will continue when we expand capacity in the other locations.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And just one more question. I mean, there was a preferential. So the promoters took part in that fully. So in the upcoming rights issue, will there be participation from the promoter side as well?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. And we'll request Preetam to respond to that.
Yes. So there will be participation from promoters as well in the upcoming right issue. And they will subscribe to the issue that has been conveyed to us.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
One point, Utsav, just in case you have not noticed, we are immediately after the results, we have uploaded investors presentation and a lot of information in terms of existing capacity and how we are planning to progress. That's available in detail. So you can refer to that as well. So it's much more informative and can help.
Yeah, and if there is any further need for clarification, you can always reach out to us, the secretarial team, and we'll always be happy to clarify.
Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll have a look at that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. We have reached the end of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suresh Kumar for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Some of you had also attended the analyst day conference that we had of the AllCargo Group. So thank you for your continued interest in AllCargo Terminals Limited. Between Preetham and I have shared the quarter two results, which are strong, both from a sequential point of view and the YOY growth. We have outlined the expansion plans that we have and the timelines for them. And we have also shared with you how the expanded capacity that we have had this year is rapidly starting to fill up, giving us optimism and confidence that we are absolutely on the right track and we will be able to achieve our aspirations of rapid growth and unlock value for all stakeholders. Thank you very much for your interest and looking forward to meeting you during the quarter and definitely in the next quarter when we have the investor call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of AllCargo Terminals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.